This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It's a great day in the neighborhood, is it not? You know, spring, summer, what a wonderful time. It just is so wonderful. And that sun, you got to get out in the sun, but protect yourself. But you need that vitamin D, and that's how you get it, is get out there and get some sun. And it's amazing what it does for me. I don't know about you, but just getting out in that fresh air and just feeling the sun, it just is an amazing thing. And there's kind of this life lesson and this parallel of feeling the sun, meaning Jesus, in our lives, and how it just breathes the Spirit and breathes fresh into us. It's kind of the same type of thing. But, you know, we need the rain, don't we? We need the rain because the rain washes off everything that needs to be washed off. And the rain sometimes can be gloomy. And sometimes we have gloomy days. But you know what? Would we really appreciate the good and the sunny and the wonderful days if we didn't have some of those not so fun and not so good days? And don't those not so good days have life lessons in them to where we can be bigger and better people? It's all in our perspective, is it not? It's in our perspective of how we view things. I'm going to continue on with something that I've been on for a while now, and it's on fierce conversations, and that word fierce can be scary because sometimes people think that when you have these tough conversations that you're going to have this huge fight, and it could cause conflict. And I looked up conflict in the Bible, and people that talk to me about, you know, the people that are listeners, the listeners of the show, they will say, you know, I love when you have Bible verses in your show, when you relate what you're saying with Bible verses, because no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, and no matter where we are in understanding, which we will never fully understand, not till we get up and meet him firsthand, we'll never understand completely. But as we move on and as we learn more, the Lord gives us some types of wisdom. And I looked up the words of conflict. I just punched that in. And Proverbs 6:14, who plots evil will with deceit in his heart? He always stirs up conflict. A false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. These are all in Proverbs. And by the way, if you're new to the Bible, Proverbs is a wonderful place to read and to build your character and to understand more, because there's one for every day of the month. There's 31. And you can read one a day. So if that's a good place to start, for me, that's really a good place to start. And even if you're, you know, a mature Christian, people say that. If you're a mature Christian, it doesn't hurt to go back and just one a day, read those Proverbs. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Proverbs 28:25, the greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. And here's another one, Proverbs 29:22. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. So based on these, when I'm talking about fierce conversations, we could be concerned that we will get a hot-tempered person that might commit a sin. But on the other hand, if we don't have that conversation, you're not going to get where you need to go, which is, as we get in here, I'm going to say this, and I'll say it now, is it's better to seek to understand than to be understood. And you're going to understand that more as I go more into in depth with what I'm talking about today. And if we are seeking to understand, a lot of the times this conflict is not even going to be there, because you're going to understand where they're coming from. And once you get that, gain that understanding, it's going to make things a lot lighter for you, to where you can understand it's not about you. It may be about them, and together you can work it out. And isn't that a wonderful thing, to be able to work it out? But if you're not honest and you don't lay it out on the table, then we're not going to get anywhere. And don't we want to get somewhere? Don't we want to have a win-win if we can? You're never going to have that win-win if you don't open up your mouth and have this fierce conversation. So the book that I'm reading out of, I mean, this doesn't all come from me. I have my own life lessons that I kind of interject in the show. But it's Fierce Conversations by Susan Scott. And her little byline here is achieving success at work and in life, one conversation at a time. I'm going to go right in here because I want to start with presenting the issue. So let's say you have an issue. We all have issues, don't we? We all have issues of some kind. And when you're presenting the issue, there's things that you need to do or think about because you want to be prepared, don't you? You want to be prepared so that you have everything you need in order to go forward with this issue. So the issue is, what is the issue? Sometimes when you're in conversation, you can get just blanketed with all kinds of things that are really off target or off topic, and you don't stay on the issue that you really want to deal with. So we want to be precise, and we really want to think this through so that we can better in our communication and have that conversation that's actually we're going to walk away and we're going to get somewhere. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So the issue is, be concise. In one or two sentences, get to the heart of the problem. Is it a concern, a challenge, an opportunity, or a recurring problem that is becoming more troublesome? What is the issue? It is significant because this is very good. It's not pointing a finger. It's just saying why this is significant, why this is so important. What's at stake? How does this affect dollars, income, people, products, services, customers, family, timing, the future, or other relevant factors? What is the future impact if the issue is not resolved? My ideal outcome is, what specific results do I want? You have to ask these questions. Get a piece of paper, write these things down, and then fill in the blanks. So the next question is, relevant background information. Summarize with bulleted points, how, when, why, and where did the issue start? Who are the key players? Which forces are at work? What is the issue's current status? See, this book is not only for fierce conversations in the home, but you can do it in the home, but it's also for work. So both things apply. Sometimes we put our work face and our work personality in the closet, at least we think we do. And when we get home, we try to take on this different role. But everything that's happening is home at home, I'm here to tell you, everything that's happening at home is affecting your workplace. And everything that's happening at workplace is going to affect your home because you are you. And you're in both places. And we try to change hats and put this hat on when we're here and that hat on when we're there. But the issues are the issues. And whether they're facing you at work or at home, a lot of times you're going to find there's a correlation or there's similarities in the situation. And if you have things that are happening that aren't working right, here's a little bullet point for you. If there's things that aren't working right at home, check yourself to see if they're working right at home. If they're not working right at home, or vice versa, check yourself at work. If it's only happening one or the other, then obviously there's a fierce conversation that has to happen. If it's happening both places and you're finding that there's this issue, I would start with the conversation with yourself in the mirror and find out what part is you're playing. Because a lot of the times that's what you're going to find is that, you're part of this issue. So let's figure out what that is. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you've just tuned in and you have to get out of your car, that's okay. You can go in the house or go into your work or wherever you are, and you can click on kkla.com and click on the listen live button, and you'll be able to listen from there. Also, don't be alarmed and don't be upset. If you like what you're hearing and you think there's somebody that needs to hear it and you tried to call them, but they're not answering, that's okay. There is a site, it's called Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And I have all of my podcasts and podcasts, if you don't know what those are, they're just shows that are put in a format to where you can click on it and you can listen at any time, day or night, which is so nice that we have that. We haven't always had that, but we have that now. So it's Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And you go on there, you can listen to previous podcasts. There is also Helping Hands. And if you click on that, there's going to be things that you can download. There's even this questionnaire here from this book that's going to help you if you're not able to write these things down and whatnot, and you're driving and you can't find a pen or you can't pull over. It's okay. You can go on there and we have these things for you so that you don't have to rely on what you're hearing all the way right here, right now. So I'm going to keep on going here. What have I done up to this point? What have I done so far? What options am I considering? So you have options, right? We have options. I always tell people when they come to me at work and they have a problem, I'll say, if you have a problem, have a solution. It might not be the solution, but at least it lets me know that there's more than one head that's having to think about this. And it's always good to have as many options as you can have. And then you, one by one, it's kind of like when you go to a photographer and you get all these pictures. How do you pick out the ones you want? Do you just pick out the ones you like and put them on one side? Or do you do it by negatives and you say, I don't like that one, I don't like that one, I don't like that one, and you get rid of the ones that you really don't like, and then you're down to a chosen six or seven. Which way do you do it? Doesn't really matter, does it? There's more than one way to do things. How do you do them is the way you do them. The result is what we're trying to get at. So you have to be clear on what your result is and then how you get there. Find out what you've already done. Find out what the facts are so you can move forward in the situation. The help I want from the group or from the other person is, what result do I want from the group or from the other part of the relationship? For example, alternative solutions, confidence regarding the right decision, identification of consequences, where to find more information, critique of the current plan. The problem named is the problem solved. And isn't that true? We can't just ignore things. It's like your feelings. We can't ignore them. We can't stuff them. There's a lot of people that do, and it's called depression. There's a lot of people that stuff it, and then they get angry over something completely off the wall and has nothing to do with anything, but it's because we've stuffed. Or maybe we have unforgiveness in our hearts. And you know, the only person that really suffers when you have unforgiveness is you. You're capturing and putting yourself in prison when you are unforgiving. And it says, you know, forgive. I know that for me, I can't forget. I catalog things, and I know I'm supposed to forget. I'm just supposed to forget the past and move to the future. But for me, I don't know about you, but for me, I kind of categorize my lessons learned up to this point. It's kind of like a child where they, or not even a child, if you put your hand on a burning stove, you're not going to do that very often before you're going to realize, you know what, I got burnt. That hurt. And you're going to stop putting your hand on that burning stove. So do you want to forget that? I don't think you want to forget those things. I think you want to pay attention. It doesn't mean that they have to sway you all the way, but you want to pay attention to what's happened in the past. Sometimes what, you know, decisions you made in the past, they'll prevent you from making those same choices in the future. That's a good thing too. So forgetting, I don't know if we need to forget. Here's something that people say who don't want to have these first conversations. I don't know. Let's see if you relate to this. I take the high road. It is often an excuse for not tackling the issue. Sometimes people avoid this conversation. They avoid it because they don't want to have this conflict. This is something that people say: a confrontation could escalate the problem rather than resolve it. I could be rejected. I could lose the relationship. Confronting the behavior could force an outcome for which I am not prepared. Does any of this resonate with you? I could incur retaliation. The cure could be worse than the disease. I could be met with irrationality or emotional outbursts. I might hurt his feelings or her feelings. I could discover that I am part of the problem. Oh, no. Yet the results of not confronting a problem include these. The problem could escalate rather than be resolved. I could be rejected. I could lose the relationship. I could lose my job. Emotions could escalate until someone blows up. Do you get the drift? The very outcomes we fear if we confront someone's behavior are practically guaranteed to show up if we don't. It will just take longer, and the results will likely occur at the worst possible moment, when we are at least expecting it, with a huge price tag attached. So going forward, what are you going to choose to do? If you know something must change, then know that it is you who must change it. We can't rely and we can't wait for somebody else to have the conversation. We can't wait for somebody else to make the decision to change. It's affecting you, and it's affecting you in your gut, and you need to pay attention to what's happening. Don't ignore it. Don't walk away from it. Confront it head on. You know, in the Bible, it talks about, and I don't know where it is in scripture and I should know, but it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And basically that's what it's saying is don't let a day go by with something that needs to be handled today. Don't let the sun go down. The first thing is it's kind of like what I say to parents and people, you know, when you leave a person that you adore and love, it's very important that you hug them and you tell them you love them. Why? Because there is no guarantee that you will see that person again. There is no guarantees. There's been so many stories I've heard over the years where, you know, somebody had something to say to somebody very special, but they held back and they didn't say it. And then something happened to that person and they never got the opportunity to say. You know, when people die suddenly, sometimes it's a blessing, but other times it's not a blessing. When you have somebody that's suffering and even though that's a sad thing, I've seen, you know, like family members where they gather around the bed and the family member is suffering, but they're still there. And it gives the family members that are going to be left behind here on this earth that are going to hurt, but it gives them a chance to say what maybe they haven't said. It gives him a chance to kind of, you know, clean up whatever is not clean, whatever needs to be taken care of, you know, things that haven't been said, or just forgiveness that needs to happen, or any of those things. You know, there's two ways to look at it. I know I'd like to go quick, but maybe that's not in God's plan. Whatever God's plan, and we know that that's what's going to happen. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. You know, we're simulcasted, too, and I just want to let you know that. We go up Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, and even down to San Diego, which is such a blessing to me. You know, when you're on the radio, you never know who's listening, and I would really love to know that you are listening, and I'd like to hear from you. I would like to know, you know, if what is being said is touching you in any way, if it's making a difference. If you have direction for me, if you think that I should go a different direction, if you feel that, you know, I could do things better, I'm asking for that. That's kind of a scary thing, but with humility, I'm asking. I'm transparent, and I want to let you know that I'm put in a position to be on this radio show, and for that, I feel very fortunate, but I also feel a great responsibility. And I want to do what God wants me to do on this show, because this is His show, not my show. It has my name on it, and I have responsibility to the show and to you as a listener. But it is His show. And I just ask that I'm an open vessel and that He can use me and that His words flow through me. And isn't that what we're all supposed to be praying and we're all supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be speaking His words. Yes, I believe so. Another word I looked up in a quick search, which I love, is understanding. Because I was looking at, you know, what happens when you have a fierce conversation? What is it, the result? Isn't the result that we want to understand? At the beginning of the show, I was mentioning that seek to understand more than to be understood. I think everybody wants to be understood. The word into me see is intimacy. And what is it? It's into me see. See me. See really me. And when you feel that you're understood and you feel that somebody totally, truly gets you, isn't it a wonderful feeling? So are we going to go for reasons or results? We get to choose. Do you want to know the reasons why not, or do you want to get results? And I look to business for that one, because I used to say, you know, I want to know why. I want to know why this isn't working, or I want to know how this is going. And now what I'm saying is, you know what? I don't really want all of that. What I want is I want results. I want results. I want my customers satisfied. This last week I went to a bed bug symposium. Who would have thunk that I would be going to a bed bug symposium? But I went to a bed bug symposium, and they have dogs now that seek out. I looked into the dog situation, the canines, for searching out termites about 8 years ago. And when I searched into it and I looked into it, there's a lot of things that have to happen in order to have a canine. And so now we have the availability of having a canine that can seek out bed bugs. And it's an amazing thing to do and have. And they do have them for seeking out termites, too, which is amazing. But going here and seeing, you know, the changes and how things are happening, and things are happening fast. You know, I've been in this industry 31 years in the pest control industry. And I can say for the first 25 years of that, I answered the phone quite often, and I never had a person on the other end of the phone asking me about bed bugs. And now bed bugs are an epidemic, and they're all over the place, and they're not selective. They can be at the Marriott. They can be, you know, at a Motel 6. It really does not matter. They travel in your suitcase. They can be on an airplane. They just travel with you, and they're very small, and you don't really see too much of them until they start biting and getting a blood meal. I'm getting off track a little bit, but I wanted to tell you this, because what I see is, you know, we need to understand how bed bugs work in order to know how to solve the problem. And that's basically what I'm saying is, isn't that the same life lesson and the parallel of any type of conversation we have? We have to understand what the dynamics are, what we want to have happen, and understand what's happening, what's working, what's not working, and how are we going to get from A to Z, and what's the best way to go. And we have choices, but the most important thing is to seek to understand. And how do you do that? One conversation at a time. You have to ask the right questions. You have to be brave enough and courageous enough to ask those tough questions to yourself and to those that are around you, that you are interested in knowing what they have to say and how they feel and what they think. When we spend a lifetime curbing our anger, our sadness, or our frustration for fear of offending others, in the process, we curb our joy. Now, last week I talked about joy in Philippians being the book of joy. And I said, you know, refer to that if you want to. It's the book of joy. And I was talking to somebody very close to me who lives a life, tries to live a life with no regrets. And what I said to this sweet person that I love dearly, I said, where's your joy? Where's your joy? Where's the joy of the Lord in all of this? And I think that it was a really good question to ask. And are you joyful? Do you feel the joy of the Lord? If you don't, there's something hindering you. And there's probably a conversation. There is a gentleman that I know that I got on the phone with him because he is a life coach, and he talks about the missing conversation. And after talking to me for 30 minutes, he said, you don't have a missing conversation with anyone other than yourself. The conversation you need to have is with you. And I went, wow, really? And maybe the conversation you need to have is with you. What is it you want? Where are you going? Who needs to go with you? Who needs to be left behind? Maybe that's the conversation you need to have. Maybe it's in business. Maybe it's a relationship you're having. Maybe it's your mother. Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your husband, your wife. Whoever you need to have that conversation with, first of all, you need to understand what it is you want and understand where you're at, and then how you're going to get where you want to go. You have to be clear and honest so that the other person can seek to understand you. You have to be honest. And sometimes that's the hardest thing of all, is to just be honest with yourself and with those around you. So here's the assignment. Name the issue. Select a specific example that illustrates the behavior or situation you want to change. Describe your emotions about this issue. Clarify what it is at stake. Identify your contribution to this problem, because it takes two. Indicate your wish to resolve the issue. And 7, invite your partner to respond. Isn't that great? Now a refresher. Burnout occurs because we have been trying to solve the same problem over and over. Can anybody relate to that? Is that you? Can you relate to that? I know I can. The problem named is the problem solved. All confrontation is a search for the truth. Healthy relationships include both confrontation and appreciation. I love that word, appreciation. A courageous, skillful confrontation is a gift, a vein of gold worth mining. I challenge you to do these things, okay? And if you didn't get this, I'm going to have this put up on Helping Hands on my website, Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word, .com. You can go on there under Helping Hands, and you can get these things so that you can identify. Or you can just go to the book that I'm referring to, and it's called Fierce Conversations. And no, I don't get anything for promoting this book. I just know it's been helpful for me. And it's by Susan Scott. So I highly recommend that you have that conversation, whether it's with you or with somebody that you love, or even a company, you know, an employee or someone that you work with that you need to, you know, we spend a lot of time at work, and it's important that we have good relationships at work. We'll come back after the break. So until we come back, take the time to just take a breath, be still and know that He is God.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freed Show.
So we're back from the break. And during the break, I was talking to Roland Wiley, who is my engineer. And he's such a wonderful guy. And I'm just so thankful to have him working alongside me and partnering with the show. And I asked him, I said, you know, are you getting anything out of this? And what'd you say, Roland? Go ahead.
I said, yeah, because having fierce conversations is one of those things where surprisingly, I'm not very comfortable in doing that, because like you were saying in the book, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about how it's going to be used. Is it retaliation I'm going to get? Am I going to get rejected from it? But the only thing is, though, is that if we don't have these fierce conversations, then how will we get a resolve, or at least further along where we want to be within a relationship or even in a job situation?
And you also said that, you know, you feel like you've had several of these conversations in the last, you know, week or 2 weeks. And you said that there was a relief that happened afterwards.
There was, because it's the fact that it was eating me up inside that I'm saying, okay, I really would like to talk to this person, or better yet, I really want them to approach me about it. And the problem is that expecting someone else to initiate that conversation is not going to make the situation better. It'll actually make you bitter.
That's good, Roland. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Doesn't make it better, it makes it bitter.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. It definitely makes you bitter, and every time you're seeing that person, it just keeps festering. And
yeah, you said you felt resentful even though it wasn't they didn't know. It was, you know, you. Yeah. You were expecting them to come forward.
Yeah, I was saying, well, they should just step forward and have this conversation. I don't need to bring it up. It should be apparent. Or as they say, it's obvious, but it's not obvious if it's not brought up.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, I appreciate having those fierce conversations, because without them, you don't move forward. I mean, I would probably still be stuck with a couple of situations that wouldn't have gotten better. And now I've established a rapport, and now I know with them there's an opening, and it's opened a lot of conversation, actually, which is beneficial.
Right. I have a friend who had an altercation at work, and the owner brought this person in, and also the other person that brought it to the owner's attention. And afterwards, the owner said something that my friend felt should have been said in private, but was said in front of this other person.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend asked me my opinion on that. Mm-hmm. And it was festering because it was upsetting.
Right.
And I encouraged for him to go talk to the owner. And that's tough. It's very scary. You know, the owner is kind of a scary person sometimes.
Well, it's the owner.
You know, it's the owner, yeah. And but he did do it. He asked if he could talk to him in private. And the guy, you know, the owner said yes. Mm-hmm. And he had that conversation. And listening to him talk about it afterwards, there was this sense of relief. But it also felt like there was a mutual respect that was built, because right. My friend was willing to have that conversation. What I said to my friend was that, you know, when you become an owner, a lot of the times owners don't go through management 101. They might not know proper etiquette in management. They just, they're owner and they have all these responsibilities and they're thinking about, they got to get it done and, right. you know, whatnot. And so to have somebody in a respectful manner
right.
say, I need to talk with you about something because this upset me or this hurt me or this bothers me or I feel that this was, you know, maybe not right. It's all in the way we present it.
Well, it's like you said, it's that it has to be respectful. It has to be tactful, because I know I've told people sometimes, well, you just need to be more assertive. And they take that as, okay, I'm just going to tell them exactly what I'm thinking. Well,
wham, bam, yeah.
And they said, that didn't work out well. I said, no, you have to really think it through. And you have to realize that when you're having these conversations, especially these really fierce conversations, you have to kind of curtail it according to the character of the person. But also really think of it this way. It's not that you're saying it because I want this. It's that it should be a collaborative thing. It should mm-hmm. be, okay, this is going to bring us closer. This mm-hmm. should bring a better understanding for both of us. It's not about, well, I want this, and this is what I want, and that's it. Because
right.
if you go in with that intent, then you're really not thinking selflessly. You're really thinking, okay, what am I going to get out of this?
Right. So I looked up the word understanding in the Bible. And Exodus, it says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. Deuteronomy 4:6, observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Understanding, that word, I found it 110 times in the Bible.
Wow.
Isn't that surprising? 110 times. And so what is it we're doing with these fierce conversations? What you said, Roland, you said, you know, you gain understanding. There's this mutual understanding. And we seek to understand more than being understood.
Right.
Right? What's in it for them? And if we're looking at what's in it for them, if they understand how we work, you know, I had this meeting with my staff, and I said, do we really know what motivates our employees? Do we know what's important to them? And if we know what's important to them, then we can talk to them on their level, and we can talk to them about what's important to them.
Right.
And their motivation is what? It's not the same for everyone.
No, because there are some people that are very good at being, they rise up when they're affirmed verbally. If they're not getting that, then yeah, they feel kind of, okay, I guess my work is just my work, and I guess it's good. And sometimes you got to make that extra push to be more affirming to that person, because with that, it, yes, it can be a little bit stressful because you have to make a conscious effort. And I think that's the thing, is that we get worried or we get afraid that, okay, I have to make a conscious effort every day to do this. And you know what? At the start, it's going to be a little bit like that. But as you go on, it becomes a natural thing. It's that, you know, especially with a group of people. I know for me, when I taught high school, I made it a conscious effort to remember every student's name. And yeah, you do forget, and it's okay if you say, you know what, I'm sorry I forgot your name. And they look, and they're, yeah, initially, oh, but you know what, they're okay, because at least you honestly told them, hey, I forgot your name. Or even with homework, there was a day I forgot to bring the students' homework in, and I just told them, I said, you know what, I'm so sorry, I left your homework, I'll bring it tomorrow. Okay, and that was it. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, okay, these students are going to be, oh my goodness, why did you? No. It was completely the opposite. And we tend to worry like that. And going back to having fierce conversations, we have that worry in our head that, okay, this is not going to go well. So what we do is we lock ourselves up mentally and we bottle it up, like you were saying earlier.
Emotionally.
Yeah. And then we just put it on the back burner. But the only thing is, it's really not on the back burner. It's still really deep in our heart. And every time we see the person or see these people, it perks up again, and it perks up, and it keeps getting worse and worse. And then it just blows up, like you said. And then you have someone that's upset about something very insignificant, but that's not really the core of the problem.
Right.
It's actually, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much underlying stuff that you find out afterwards, oh, that's what it is.
Right, right. That's so true. So if we're just clear and we understand and we pay attention to what we're feeling and what we're thinking, because those things do matter. In fact, we're going to go into the next principle, which is principle 5, and it's obey your instincts. And people say, your instincts, okay, should you really, you know, be paying attention to your instincts? And I'm going to say, yes, you do. And this book says yes, too. It's amazing, but sometimes we won't trust our instincts, and it's going to cause us to go another direction. And this book has a really interesting way of delving into this, and I think it's really good. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking about Fierce Conversations, written by Susan Scott. It's a book that's helped me, and I know it's helped others, and I really would like to connect with you as a listener. So if you want to connect with me and in any shape, you know, is SueFree, spelled like fries.com, just go on there and let me know that you're listening. And if you have input of any kind, I'd like to hear from you. So please do that. When you get on there, there's videos on there. There's I'm riding a unicycle and I'm talking about the 5 love languages, which is seeking to understand too on a different level. It's understanding how the other person receives love. And I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go there. I'm just kind of, you know, keying you into something that could be of help to you. It's great with kids, great with significant others. It's important to know the different love languages. And there really are some. It was an eye-opener for me, and so it could be an eye-opener for you, too. And anything that we can do to help to be better, listeners, communicators, lovers, sisters, brothers, wives, husbands, you know, let's strive for excellence for God. Okay, let's do that. Let's strive for excellence for God. And how do you do that? Knowledge is power. As we gain understanding of ourselves and how we are, you know, made, wonderfully made, beautifully and wonderfully made, he made us in his image, and we have a specific purpose that we're supposed to fulfill for God. So understanding yourself better helps us get there. And you might, you know, even get, you can do so much more when you have God right there with you. You've got Holy Spirit with you. You can do so much more than you can do on your own. So with that, obey your instincts. So I'm going to read from this book, and here's what it says. Do you recall a moment when a realization walked up your backbone? It is not your imagination. Each of us is equipped with exquisite calibration that allows us to sense when there's a storm brewing, snow coming down, an unexpected blizzard, thunder rolls across your mind, lightning flickers, static and noise, and the scent of rain. It's going to rain hard. There is a point where fact-finding and research accomplish nothing. Sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, is it right or wrong, yes or no, right or left? And we know a business person takes a deep breath and commits funds to a vision. Lovers let go of the past and commit to the present, or recognize that they are fundamentally wrong for each other and say goodbye. Our radar works perfectly. It is the operator who is in question. Things don't always make sense. They just are. There are things our gut knows long before our intellect catches on. every day, all day, an intelligent agent is sending us messages. We hear them in our heads, feel them in our guts, discern them in our hearts. They come to us while we're sleeping. Albert Einstein had his best ideas in the morning while shaving. I have mine when I'm brushing my teeth. How about you? Do not trust your instincts. Obey them. What is, and what is must be acted upon. This instinctual wisdom is readily available to all of us. Tune in, pay attention. Our radar works perfectly. It is the operator who is in question. I highlighted that. There are things our gut knows long before our intellect catches on.
Why do we, like the book is saying about obeying our instincts, why do we not go with those? Why do we not go with our instincts on
certain That's a really
things?
Good question, and I think it gets into that right up here in this thing, because sometimes we don't trust them. We don't trust them because of life lessons, things that have happened in our past. Maybe we're feeling like we need to go with the flow. And maybe not be different. Or, you know, there's other things that are happening. That we have these little voices in our heads. And she talks about that also. She talks about the voices we have in our head. And she says you can even write them down. And it gets into this. And you have a left column, which is the things you're not saying, but you're thinking. And then the things that are okay to think and the things that are okay to say. So you have this left column that's kind of internally in your mind that you're, no, I can't say that. You know, I can't think that. I can't say that. So it's interesting how all this plays a role. But what she's saying is we need to unleash that, and we need to trust that our instincts are there for a reason, and we need to pay attention to those. And we will be healthier human beings if we allow ourselves to really acknowledge that our instincts are there.
Right.
In fierce conversations, there is neither a struggle for approval nor an attempt to persuade. There is instead an interchange of ideas and sentiments during which you pay attention to and disclose your inner thoughts while actively inviting others to do the same. Isn't that a healthy place? That's a healthy place right there.
I like that.
Yeah. Examine more than surface evidence. Resist automatically accepting what you see at face value. What do you think but not say? And this is where she's talking about the left-hand column. What do you think but not say? That's a left column thing. You write those things on the left column. This is when you really want to get into this. Sometimes we don't know what we think until we hear ourselves say it aloud.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
Yes, I think all of us are. All of us are. And in fact, even when I'm doing the show, sometimes, you know, well, I've even told people this, is that the Lord, no, your soul hears your words better than if you, for instance, if you go to church and you hear the pastor talking and reading scriptures, your spirit and your soul hears your words better than listening to the pastor up at the front. So when I tell people when they're reading the Bible, read out loud.
Right.
Because you want your spirit to hear your voice. Your spirit likes your voice best. So when you say scriptures out loud, first of all, the devil doesn't know what we think, but he knows what we say. He hears what we say.
Right.
Okay, he can't hear our thinking. The Lord knows our thoughts before we think them.
Right.
Right? But the devil doesn't. The devil only knows what comes out of our mouth. So be careful. Be really careful. If you don't get anything else, get this. Be careful about what you say. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I could go into a story, but I'm not going to go.
No, I've realized I do much better reading the Bible out loud, and I feel more at peace with God when I'm praying out loud than versus in my head, because I don't know about you, but in my head there's too much thought going on. So if I'm sitting there looking at my Bible, I know I'm reading the words, but I'm thinking about 20 other things at the same time. And when I'm reading the word out loud, everything else gets put aside.
That's amazing that you said that right then, Roland, because right now when I'm reading in this this book, it says being 100% present means being present for everything that is occurring in that moment. It's like a split screen TV. She's talking about the left column being private thoughts, for instance, what you think, not visible, audible, public thoughts, what you say, visible, audible. So she's saying that you've got two things going on. You know, you've got your private thoughts. And then you got your public thoughts.
Right.
Right? And that's what you were saying, is that you've got two things going on in there. Mm-hmm. Actually, I've got more than two. I can guarantee you. I bet you do, too.
Yes, I do.
Yes. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking about Fierce Conversations with Susan Scott. And we're in the place where we're talking about obeying your instincts. If you ignore those messages, eventually you'll stop getting them. Ooh. Those messages are from you to you. They are from the part of you that knows what is needed to help you get better. If you ignore those messages, eventually you'll stop getting them. The part of you that offers insights will say, no use telling her, she doesn't listen. This got my attention and I resolved to get better at putting my instincts to work as the powerful tools that they are. This is Susan Scott, the writer. Right, I'm reading from her. I began to meditate, starting my day with a brief quiet time, which ends with the question, is there a message? A message often presents itself. She asks the question out loud, is there a message? And then it happens. Several years ago, at a time when I was trying to make multiple things happen in my personal and professional life, I asked if there was a message and was startled with which the message arrived. Two words, loud and clear. In capital letters, be still. I recall my response, what do you mean, be still? And the immediate answer, what part of be still don't you understand? I got the message for many months. In parentheses, in bold, be still. Became a personal mantra, pulling me back from the brink of wrong action on numerous occasions. Still, to this day, during my early morning quiet time, it takes a while for the stillness to arrive. Thoughts swarm. Swarm. I need to call so-and-so, respond to emails, get to the bank, write the job description, call the accountant, review the goals, update the action plan. I'm reminded of Holly Hunter's character in the movie Always, who dreams grocery shopping lists. No, I don't go that far.
Nah.
Like many individuals running organizations and living full lives, I dream to-do lists. This is Susan Scott. During my morning meditation, it is often all I can do not to rush from the chair and hurl myself into a flurry of activity. Yet over and over, I have discovered that a rush to action can be counterproductive. When I am still, underlying truths surface, pointing me toward right action. Stillness has become a discipline. What needs to be my focus for today? The theme for today's endeavors. Is there a message from me to me? And often there is. These conversations with myself, during which a nugget of gold is revealed amid the rubble, have become invaluable. When I am still, underlying truths surface, pointing me toward right action. A side story is, I don't know if any of you know or if some of you do about my injury, but, you know, people say, what was the message that you got when you were injured and you were in a wheelchair and you couldn't walk for 4 months? And this is pretty current. I'm just now getting going somewhat normally. I've still got some disabledness, whatever that word is.
But you're free from a walker.
I am free from a walker and I'm not in a wheelchair. But you know what? Those lessons are so wonderful because I understand. I understand what it's like to be in those positions. I have a new sensitivity to that whole type of life. It's opened my eyes and I never would have experienced that. And I never would have seen that or felt that or understood that if I hadn't been put in a position to live it. And I think that that's helpful for me. Now, we can look at it two ways, and I do get down at times, don't we all? But on the whole, the message from the Lord for me was the same as Susan Scott's here, is to be still and know that He is God. Be still. I am not someone that's still. I'm just not. Roland, would you say that I'm a still person?
Hardly.
Hardly.
Hardly still.
Yes. I have people say that I make coffee nervous when they describe me, that I make coffee nervous. And yeah, I am high energy, and sometimes that's scary to people. But I just don't know how I didn't know how to be quiet or to be still. But the Lord's taught me, and it took me breaking, fracturing, totally shattering my leg, I think, to get me to truly understand what the Lord meant by be still, because I couldn't move and I needed to rely on people a lot. And I'm not used to doing that either. So with that, all I'm saying is that, we have lessons that we have to learn and we learn them, but to be still, if you are one that does not know how to be still, I had a counselor once say, Susie, I want you to picture yourself in a rocking chair and I want you just to sit there in that rocking chair. And he sat there quietly and he wanted me to visualize myself. I remember feeding my children and in the rocker, and it was just the most delightful time. But I remember how much it took out of me to just have to stop everything I'm doing to take care of my children that way. But it was a blessing, and it was wonderful to just stop everything that was going on and take care of my babies. And you know what? God wants that. He wants that time. He wants us to be still and just to experience His presence. Do you do that? If you don't, you need to do that. And you also need to rely on your instincts. And we're going to talk more about that. We're running out of time on this show. But can our instincts get us in trouble? I want to go into that, too, because we have to be careful. Our instincts are not always correct. There have certainly been times when, this is Susan Scott, when I managed to possess an incorrect but fervent understanding of an issue. And sometimes I found myself just plain lost. I have no idea what a conversation is even pretending to be about. At times like that, I have sometimes said, I'm as confused as you appear to be. How do we dig out of here? And that's a good question, isn't it? So we need to listen to our instincts, but not always act upon them. We need to really, you know, pay attention and gain that understanding from who? From God. And those 121 scriptures that talk about understanding, we need to seek his understanding. We need to seek him and have him help us with clarity and understanding so that we can move on.
You know what, though? As you were talking, the scripture passage came to me about being made, I would say, in our weakness, we find strength in God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how that happens, because in order for God to really work on us, we almost have to, well, it's either A, we have to come to that understanding through just by God's will and grace, or it's B, we have to go through a really hard time and then finally just say, okay, God, here. And I don't know about you. I know I have been there and continue to be there. It's like, okay, God, have it. I can't occupy my brain with this anymore.
Right.
Because I'm trying to work on my own strength, and my strength is limited. God's is not.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. It's not our thoughts or feelings that get us into trouble. It's not our disclosures that cause distress. It's our attachment to them, our belief that we are right. I want to emphasize the importance of releasing any attachment to our thoughts and interpretations as the truth. Even so, I would rather err on the side of checking out my instincts than passing them over for fear that I could be wrong or that I might offend someone. Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's always a common thing that we do, is say, well, if I say it, they're going to be hurt. And yes, I am guilty of that. I go through that daily. And it's hard, because you don't want to hurt the person, even though it's the truth. And I know the cliche is that the truth hurts. Well, it shouldn't. I mean, in the sense that you don't go with the intent to hurt the person. It's that you're telling them because you naturally care. You love that person. You want to see the best come from them. You want the best in the relationship, whether it's at work or at home. You want the best for it. And yeah, like Susan Scott says, you're going to have these fierce conversations in order to have that come together.
But be sure that you check yourself that is your goal.
Right.
Okay. If it's because you want what you want and you're going to get it no matter what, then that's the wrong motivation to go into a fierce conversation. That's really not having the kind of conversation we're talking about here.
No.
The conversation we're having, and the goal is that we want to seek to understand.
Right.
And it's not that we want our way.
Mm-hmm.
We want God's way. We want God's way, not our way. But we want to understand where the other person's coming from.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times going back to a person's childhood helps.
Yeah.
Because you can understand what it was like being them as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, it can help you to understand maybe some of the things that are happening with them even as an adult. And maybe that person hasn't even dealt with it. You know, they don't even know that there's an issue.
No.
And you can bring it to the table, but you have to do it with kindness and love.
Right.
Not with, you know, pain. You don't have to present things that way. You know, if the goal is to help and encourage and help a person with joy, then that's the goal. So keep in mind what God wants. God wants you to love one another. God wants you to help one another and, you know, put him first. And, you know, then love thy neighbor as thyself. So when you do that, then you're going to find that you're doing a godly thing, and your conversations are going to end up the way you want them to, which is
for the better.
For the better. Amen to that. Well, Linda, it's been wonderful having you on the show.
Thanks for bringing me on, Sue.
Thank you so much. Until next week, God bless you. Bye-bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. it's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.